Welcome to the teaching series, Hard Questions with Pastor Daryl Kraft. The goal of these sessions is to help inform, strengthen, equip, and release you to live out the mission God has given us with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This evening, if you have not picked up a copy of the book resources, we printed a few for some of our folks that may not have the ability to download those. But if you'll take your phone out, tonight we have complete notes of everything that you're going to see. And you can also add to those by opening it up on our app. But you'll be able to get all of the information. There's a resource page that you'll be able to get all the resources. There are books, there are articles. Most everything that you're going to hear tonight is going to have been taken from articles and some internet postings and books and other things, and you'll be able to get those. If you're having trouble with that QR code, we posted QR codes at the entrances as you came in. So if you want to get up and go out there and use it a little bit closer, you can feel free to do so. Or next week when you come in, notice that you can look at the doors as you come in, and David has provided that as well. So tonight we're going to be looking at what is a biblical worldview. Now I'm looking to make sure everyone has this. Has it worked for you? All right, let me give you just another moment. And when you use this, I hope that it can help you download everything that you need. Tonight we're going to be looking at what is a biblical worldview. Despite the growing number of religiously unaffiliated people, over 70% of Americans still claim to be Christians. Yet only 46% of U.S. adults would say they have a biblical worldview. But almost half of Americans really possess a biblical framework through which they view the world. Do they really? Everyone has a worldview. Former president of Union University, David Dockery, wrote an article entitled "Shaping a Christian Worldview." In that article, Dr. Dockery said, "Immersed in our environment, we have failed to take seriously the ramifications of a secular worldview." Sociologist and social watchdog Daniel Yankelevich defines culture as an effort to provide a coherent set of answers to the existential situations that confront human beings in the passage of their lives. A genuine cultural shift is one that makes a decisive break with the shared meaning of the past. The break particularly affects those meanings that relate to the deepest questions of the purpose and nature of human life. As I was studying all of this material and as I was writing things and taking notes on things, I made this statement. As Christians, we must live with a biblical worldview. But we also should not be surprised when others do not hold such a view. In a post-Christian culture, many believers in the United States are struggling with a culture that has rapidly dismissed any semblance of biblical values and morality. Yet, we should not be shocked or discouraged. The Bible has warned us over and over again. I'm going to read one passage of Scripture, and there are many more in the notes that you can look at later. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." This information that I'm about to share in a moment was taken from an article written by Avery Foley that describes for us the evidence of the reality of what's taking place. When you think of worldview questions, these are some questions that would be asked to determine whether or not someone has a biblical worldview. I want you to take this little test on your own. You don't have to answer it out loud. Answer it to yourself. The Bible is totally accurate in all of the life principles it teaches. You have a personal responsibility to share your religious beliefs with people who believe differently. A person who is generally good or does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven. When he lived on the earth, Jesus Christ was fully human and therefore committed sins like other people. Satan does not exist. He is just a symbol of evil. The Holy Spirit is not a living entity, but is a symbol of God's presence or purity. Now, these are the kinds of questions that were asked of individuals to determine whether or not they really have a biblical worldview. 112 million Americans, or 46%, say they have a biblical worldview. But according to this study, one of the first of its kind, only 24 million American adults actually have a biblical worldview. In other words, only 10% of Americans think and act according to the most basic biblical principles. George Barna, in writing about this, who actually directed this study, said, "Our research collected information about attitudes and behaviors related to practical matters like lying, cheating, stealing, pornography, the nature of God, and the consequences of unresolved sin. It's what some might describe as Christianity 101 in its very substance. That's what makes the discrepancy between the percentage of people who consider themselves to be Christians more than 7 out of every 10 consider themselves Christians in America, but those who have a biblical worldview are only 1 out of every 10, and this is so very alarming." Would you agree with that? You want to hear something even scarier? Of the millennial generation, only 4% qualified to have a biblical worldview. This is a paltry 4% of those who will be the next generation of pastors, Sunday school teachers, elders, deacons, Christian school leaders, and college teachers, and parents. Only 4% of millennials, when taking these worldview tests, actually have a biblical worldview. When you look at it broken down by age, 7% of those 30 to 49-year-olds, 15% of 50 to 65-year-olds, and 17% of people 65 and above, when taking a worldview inventory, actually qualify as having a strongly biblical worldview. But it's not unique to the United States. According to a recent survey commissioned by the BBC, a quarter of people who describe themselves as Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and 31% of them did not believe in life after death. I can tell you that this is true. I have a son that lives in England, but one day when I was in Salisbury Cathedral, I actually met a retired Anglican priest. When I began to quiz him about what he believed and his ministry over the many years he served, he said, "Look, I don't believe in God." I said, "You don't believe there's a heaven and a hell?" He says, "No, you can tell me when you get there one day." So what is a worldview? Now, I want you to understand, I've got 99 slides tonight and a lot of pages of notes. I'm going to have to skip some of what is in your notes that you've downloaded, or we won't go home tonight. And I promised Rick and the choir we'd be out of here by 7:15 tonight, okay? So hang in. I'm going to go pretty quick, but I want you to listen to this. A worldview comprises one's collection of presuppositions, convictions, and values from which a person tries to understand and make sense out of the world and life. A worldview is the framework from which we view reality and make sense of life and the world. It's any ideology, philosophy, theology, movement, or religion that provides an overarching approach to understanding God, the world, and man's relation to God and the world. Listen to this one. A worldview is a conceptual scheme by which we consciously or unconsciously place or fit everything we believe and by which we interpret and judge reality. A worldview is first of all an explanation and interpretation of the world and second, an application of this view to life. Everybody has a worldview. The question is, do you have a biblical worldview or do you have another kind of worldview? One of the easiest ways for us to think of worldviews in some regards from a geopolitical perspective is oftentimes those of us that live in the West think that we can project on those that live in the East, Israel, Syria, Lebanon, all of those places, our idea of the way the world works. But those that live in the East look at things very different than those that live in the West. And sometimes when we watch the news or listen to others, we don't really comprehend why they're saying the things they're saying or thinking the way that they think. But they have an entirely different worldview unless they are a born-again Christian who has a clear biblical worldview. If you're with me, say I am. So why is it important to understand different worldviews? Well, according to this author, worldviews matter because it is the lens through which people see the world. Your worldview is an invisible but very real filter that you use to understand why things are the way they are. Understanding your own worldview is just as important as understanding the worldviews of the people around you. So, in the last couple of centuries, the Christian worldview has lost its dominance, and competing worldviews have become far more prominent. For example, there is naturalism. There is no God. Humans are just highly evolved animals. The universe is a closed physical system. Yesterday, I saw someone post a picture on Facebook of a man who had plastered his car with signs saying, the Bible's untrue, God is not real, all these kinds of things, and parked it outside a church as children were coming in for vacation Bible school. Then there's postmodernism. There are no objective truths and no moral standards. Reality is ultimately a human social construction. Then there's pantheism. God is the totality of reality, thus we are all divine by nature. Here's a fourth worldview, pluralism. The different world religions represent equally valid perspectives on the ultimate reality. There are many valid paths to salvation. Do you know anybody that believes that? And then there's Islam. Yes, Islam is monotheistic. There is only one God and he has no son. God has revealed his will for all people through the final prophet, Muhammad, and his eternal word, the Quran. There's a moralistic, therapeutic deism that seems to have infiltrated the church in America especially. God just wants us to be happy and nice to other people. He intervenes in our affairs only when we call on him to help us out. What does Paul say? In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul reminds us, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, I want you to read that last underlined section with me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's important to understand worldviews. It's important to know what your worldview is, and it's important to understand the worldviews of others if we're going to engage them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them know the truth so that the truth can set them free. You agree with that? So what then is a biblical worldview? So let me give you some definitions. This definition comes from the Biblical Worldview Institute. A biblical worldview is an overarching view of the world based on God's revealed truth, the Bible, which directs our life in this world. A biblical worldview shapes our beliefs about God, creation, humanity, moral order, and purpose. Now, there are several elements to this. God, to whom or what do I ultimately answer? Creation, what comprises reality? Humanity, who am I and how did I get here? Moral order, how do I determine right and wrong? Purpose, is there a reason and purpose for my existence? With focus on the family, Del Tackett wrote this definition. A biblical worldview is based on the infallible word of God. When you believe the Bible is entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything that you say and do. So the question becomes, do you have a biblical worldview? Answer the following questions based on claims found in the Bible and which George Barna also used in his survey, very similar to the other one. Follow along. Do absolute moral truths exist? Yes or no? Is absolute truth defined by the Bible? Did Jesus Christ live a sinless life? Is God the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe, and does he still rule it today? Is salvation a gift from God that cannot be earned? Is Satan real? Does a Christian have a responsibility to share his or her faith in Christ with other people? Is the Bible accurate in all of its teachings? Well, I agree with these things. Did you answer yes to these? Only 9% of people who claim to be born again believers did. I'm not sure that sank in. Only 9% of people who surveyed, when they said, "Are you a born-again Christian?" they said yes, but only 9% of those who said yes answered yes to these statements. But what's even more important than our yes to these questions is whether our life shows it. Granted, we are all sinners and fall short, but most of our gut reactions will reflect what we deep down, honest to goodness, believe to be real and what is true. So what is the Christian worldview? Here's a working model definition. The Christian worldview sees and understands God the Creator and His creation, man, and the world primarily through the lens of God's special revelation, the Holy Scriptures, and secondarily through God's natural revelation in creation as interpreted by human reason and reconciled by and with the Scripture for the purpose of believing and behaving in accord with God's will and thereby glorifying God with one's mind and life both now and in eternity. eternity. See, it's one thing to say that you agree with these statements. Whether or not you have a biblical worldview is mostly revealed by whether or not those things that you say you believe are reflected in the normative way that you live. Does that make sense? So what essentially distinguishes the Christian worldview from other worldviews? At the heart of the matter, a Christian worldview contrasts with competing worldviews in that it, first of all, recognizes that God is the unique source of all truth and relates all truth back to an understanding of God and his purposes for this life and for the next. Christian worldview provides a framework by which to understand the world and all of its reality from God's perspective, and it also enables us to order our lives according to God's will. When we have a biblical worldview, then the biblical worldview is based on the authority of God's word, and the way we live our life is filtered through the scriptures. It's not, here's the Bible, here's my life, and when my life comes into contradiction with the scripture, I'm trying to manipulate the scripture to fit my life. Rather, I'm not being conformed to the world. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind so that when my life does not conform to the truth, then it is my life that needs to be transformed and conformed to the truth of God's word. Can I get an amen? A biblical worldview. Jeremiah says it like this: let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. So I want to share with you what is the basis and basic aspects of a biblical worldview. First of all, the belief in absolute moral truths. The belief that absolute moral truths are revealed in and defined by the Bible, the belief that Jesus lived a sinless life, the belief that God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe who sovereignly rules today, the belief that salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned, and the belief that Satan is real. The belief that a Christian has the responsibility to share his faith in Christ with others, and the belief that the Bible is accurate in all of its teachings. Based on the Barna Research Study, only 4% of Americans have a basic biblical worldview of thinking, and only 9% of those who claim to be born again have a biblical worldview. How many of you are surprised by that? I'm not going to have time to go through all of this, but I've provided for you a link to a research paper that Dr. Danny Aiken, who is the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, did. And I believe he did a very good job on 10 foundational beliefs of a Christian worldview. And I want to make sure that you have that so that you can go back and review that, because I think that you'll find it beneficial and a blessing. I'm going to move on to this. What will be some benefits of embracing a Christian worldview? Let the following things serve as samples representing the kinds of crucial life questions that can be answered with ultimate truth and can be embraced with confident faith. You can answer this question: how did the world and all that is in it come into being? If you have a biblical worldview about creation, you will be in the minority. Do you agree with that? Secondly, what is reality in terms of knowledge and truth? If you believe that the Bible is the final authority for life, faith, and practice, you have a biblical worldview that is rooted in the scripture, you will be in the minority. You agree with that? Third, how does or should the world function? Seems to be a lot of dysfunction these days, right? What is the nature of a human being? Now, next week, when I address gender and sexuality, this question needs to be answered in our doctrine of man and our understanding of how God created men and women. It's going to be critical. What is one's personal purpose of existence? Is it like the tombstone that everyone has seen or heard about that someone said, he who has the most toys wins? How should one live? Is there any personal hope for the future? What happens to a person at and after death? Why is it possible to know anything at all? How does one know what is right and what is wrong? All of these are critical questions that can be answered. What is the meaning of human history? What does the future hold? So here's a really important question. Why do so many Christians not have a consistently biblical worldview? Why do so many Christians, when they fall into sin, or maybe there's a biblical principle that they don't want to follow, why do they not follow the truth? Why would someone say they're a Christian and yet not live consistently Christian? Well, one, they lack knowledge of what the Bible says. I was telling someone just this week my story of learning to be a tither. And I didn't know anything about tithing. I didn't even know what the word tithe meant. I got my first check from McDonald's for 2 weeks. I thought I was a rich 16-year-old. And Vicky, who I was dating at the time, said, Daryl, did you tithe on that check? I said, tie what? Tie something up? And she explained the biblical teaching of tithing. I immediately began obeying Christ because when he saved me, I thought you just did what he told you to do. Forgive me for being so naive, but when I got saved, I thought when you found out what Jesus said to do, you were supposed to do it. Amen? Sometimes people lack knowledge. Sometimes they reject what the Bible says on certain issues. Sometimes they're more concerned with what the world thinks of them than what God thinks. Sometimes they're lukewarm in their commitment to Christ. Sometimes they're influenced by the lies of the world. And sometimes they're swayed by their circumstances and they doubt God's purposes. So I want to end with this question in the next 10 minutes, 11 minutes that we have. How do you cultivate a biblical worldview? Now, there is a lot more information on the notes that you can go back and read. There are resources that you can watch videos, read articles, and buy books that you can download the resource page from our website. But on the notes, I'm giving you a biblical teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to these verses. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When we open our Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians who came out of gross paganism and immorality and unbelief. And he was wanting them to understand that they really were in a spiritual war. But the battle is not of the flesh. The battle is a spiritual battle, and that there are strongholds that the enemy sets up, and most of those strongholds are not strongholds in the flesh. They are strongholds in the mind. A stronghold is a fortress of wrong thinking. The evil one is a liar. He is the father of lies. And what he has done is blinded people in their unbelief. And the reason so many people are in their unbelief is they're blinded by the evil one. And the reason that there are people who claim to be born again who are not living out and believing a biblical worldview is because they have believed the lies of the enemy. One writer said there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't so. The other is to refuse to believe what is so. So here's three principles you need to remember. If you want to build in your life and cultivate a biblical worldview, you must acknowledge and accept that you are in a spiritual battle. The Christian life is not merely a walk, but it is a war. The Christian life is warfare against evil and against error. It's against evil and it's also against error. It is an attack on biblical authority. And on the notes that you have, there's a number of scriptures to look this up. But the warfare against Christian thought and a biblical worldview is an attack on biblical authority, and secondly, it's an attack on biblical morality. You and I have to acknowledge and accept that we are in a spiritual battle, and the primary battlefield is not the flesh, it is the mind, and we must take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In writing about America's problem with its own national security, Jim Banford, author of The Puzzle Palace, said, "Once you've sold one secret, you're usually hooked. They don't start by asking to get a top secret document. They usually ask for something innocuous like a telephone directory. Once a person starts, they're hooked at this point. And isn't that the way Satan operates? He tempts us to make compromises that seem insignificant and end up ensnaring us in sin." That's what the enemy does. He lies to you. And he whispers these lies through media, through false books and false articles. I'm not saying you shouldn't read those things to be aware of them, but if you do not compare them to the authoritative Word of God, you may allow your mind to become polluted and eventually perverted. And if you follow the progression of Romans chapter 1, we are a culture that has readily begun to go down a very slippery slope. You say, how did we get this far? Now, I'll never forget one guy saying about a preacher who fell. Somebody said, "I can't believe how far he's fallen." He said, "You just didn't know how low he was living." And for those of us who are Christians who do want a desire to live with a biblical worldview, we shouldn't be surprised at what's happening out there. What we should be is more concerned about what's happening right in here. Now, I'm not saying we ignore what's out there. But the answer to what is out there is the transforming power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. So the first thing you have to do is admit and acknowledge and accept that you're in a spiritual battle. Secondly, appropriate the proper tools for spiritual warfare. Notice what it says in verse 4, and I'm going to hurry because I am going to get through. "The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, strongholds." We must appropriate the tools for spiritual warfare. And those tools we can read about in Ephesians chapter 6 by putting on the full armor of God, but it always begins with truth. It involves faith. It involves love. But the tools for fighting the battle that we're in is the Word of God primarily. Third, we must act decisively and proactively in spiritual warfare. Listen to what verse 5 says. "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Literally, what Paul says to the church in Corinth is this: every thought that you have, every thought that comes across your mind, everything that you read, everything that someone says, every news station that you listen to, every blog that you read, every article that you read, everything must come under the scrutiny. We take it captive and we bring it under the authority of God's word, so that if what I hear, what I see, and what I think is not consistent with revealed truth in Scripture, then I know that I must find how to align with what God's word says, not try to change the word of God to meet what I think or what others might say. That's what you do if you want to cultivate a biblical worldview. You not only appropriate the tools for spiritual warfare, but you act decisively and proactively by destroying. Look what he says in verse 5 again. He says, we are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against what? My flesh? No. He says, raised up against the knowledge. It's the Greek word gnosis, knowledge, against the knowledge of God. And we take it captive. Proverbs 23:7 says it like this: for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Paul told Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. 1 Peter 1:13, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense or an apologia to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Here's a statement. A Christian living under the lordship of Jesus Christ must know both what he believes and why he believes it. In the day in which we live, this has never been more important. Everybody here has a worldview. And your worldview is shaped by your culture, by your background, by your family, by your education, by everything that you have ever experienced. It does. And what you and I have the responsibility to do as a Christian is this: the Bible is the final authority for life, faith, and practice. Therefore, all of the things that have influenced me, whether it's my family, my friends, my education, my career, the news, whatever that may be, it all has to come under the authority of the Word of God. And if my life, my thinking, my way of thoughts does not consistently line up with Scripture, then I have to move to the Word of God. You agree with that? Amen. Well, it's time for us to go, but I want to finish. Well, I did, but I don't have it here to read to you, so that's okay. I want to remind you about the Worldview Weekend that's going to be coming up February the 11th through the 13th. It's going to be phenomenal. You want to make sure that you clear your calendar for those 3 days and that you're here. February 11th through the 13th, Jeff Myers, Brett Kunkel, and Frank Turek are going to be here as our guests. Look them up on YouTube. You'll probably hear a lot of the things on YouTube that they'll come and share, but it will not hurt you at all to hear them multiple times. Don't forget, you can go to the resources page and continue to glean from these resources, and each week we're going to build a worldview everyone has. A biblical worldview is based on the Word of God. And that's why we believe it's essential to understand why the Bible is trustworthy. And everybody said, amen. Next week, we're going to address a very pertinent and important issue in our culture. What about gender and sexuality? How do we have a biblical worldview and love people who disagree with us? How do we stand firm and not compromise while loving and telling the truth? So let's find out what God's word says next week. Amen? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, I feel like I'm running with a fire hydrant and I need to slow down. Lord, I want us to get this. I want us to glean this information. And I want us to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. And I want us to learn why it's so critical that we have a biblical worldview. Why it's so important for us to think like Christ. To have the mind of Christ in us. Lord, so many people have gone through the mind of Christ that T.W. Hunt wrote. Lord, let it be true. Let us think like Jesus, see like Jesus, listen like Jesus, interpret like Jesus. Lord, let us be Christ because you are identity. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.